Tasmin
Inda
Naradeva Deve,
upon the kings,
Praya Upavishte, being engaged in fasting to death, Divi, in the sky, Deva, demigod, Sangaha,
all of them.
Prasasya,
having praised the action,
Bhumau,
on the earth.
Vyakiran,
scattered.
Prasunai,
with flowers.
Muda,
in pleasure.
Mohuko,
continually.
Dundubayaha,
celestial drums.
Cha, also.
Neduho,
beaten.
Translation.
Thus the king, Maharaj Parikshit, sat to fast until death. All the demigods of the higher planets praised the king's actions, and in pleasure continually scattered flowers over the earth and beat celestial drums. Responsibly, please repeat. Thus the king Maharaj Parikshit
sat to fast until death.
All the demigods of the higher planets
praised the king's actions
and in pleasure
continually scattered flowers over the earth
and beat celestial drums.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada.
Even up to the time of Maharaj Parikshit, there were interplanetary communications, and the news of Maharaj Parikshit's fasting unto death to attain salvation reached the higher planets in the sky where the intelligent demigods live. The demigods are more luxurious than human beings, but all of them are obedient to the orders of the Supreme Lord. There is no one in the heavenly planets who is an atheist or non-believer. Thus, any devotee of the Lord on the surface of the earth is always praised by them. In the case of Maharaj Parikshit, they were greatly delighted and thus gave tokens of honor by scattering flowers over the earth and by beating celestial drums. Demigod takes pleasure in seeing someone go back to Godhead. He is always pleased with the devotee of the Lord, so much so that by his adhidaivic powers, he may help the devotees in all respects. And there, by their actions, the Lord is pleased with them. There is an invisible chain of complete cooperation between the Lord, the demigods, and the devotee of the Lord on earth. Evam chatasmin naradeva deve pranayopavishte divideva sangaha prashashubhuma vyakiran prasunayar mudamuhur dundubayasanedu. Thus the king Maharaj Parikshit sat to fast until death. All the demigods of the higher planets praised the king's actions and in pleasure continually scattered flowers over the earth and beat celestial drums. Well, we're being forced to sit here and fast until breakfast. One kind is not there. But Maharaj Parikshit became famous by his actions. Of course, he was emperor of the whole world.
fabulously powerful, wealthy, beautiful, surrounded by so much opulence, and he gave it all up. So fame is one of the six opulences of any person, and the devotee of the Lord is the most famous. I don't think there are any other more famous people on this planet than Lord Jesus Christ, Muhammad, or Lord Chaitanya, Madhava, Bharata, Vishnu, Swami. So many famous personalities, not only now or for 100 or 1,000 years, but for thousands and thousands of years. Narad Muni, since the beginning of time. All great Vaishnavas, devotees of the Lord. So, therefore, it is stated, akam sarakam ova moksha kam dadati. Sivrena bhakti yogini ajeta purusham para. Even if you want to become famous, you should take to the devotional service of the Lord, or whatever you do. Yantaroji, tat purusha madharkana. You should do it as an offering to Krishna. Then you may get some immediate fame, but you will get eternal fame. And you will be recognized not only by the citizens of this planet, but by all of the higher planets in the universe. In fact, it's said that the demigods themselves are so impressed with the devotees on the earth planet because the devotees of the Lord often have to undergo severe austerities, either by their own volition or by the force of circumstance. But they do not shirk or move away from or renounce these opportunities. In fact, we were reading the other day how a devotee of the Lord sees everything as either the Lord's mercy or my karma. Punjane vatam. So the devotees see any type of adversity as an opportunity to make spiritual advancement. In fact, great devotees of the Lord, and you have to be careful about this one, great devotees of the Lord pray. I'm warning you, you really have to be careful about this. They pray to the Lord, please put me in a situation where I will be forced to surrender to you. In other words, I am not feeling myself very much inclined because I'm enjoying my life. Therefore, Lord, I know that your devotional service is the ultimate goal. Your devotional service is the ultimate standard of happiness. Therefore, please put me in a difficult situation so that feeling the weight of that situation, feeling the difficulty, I will be forced to let go of my material attachments and just surrender to you, just like Draupadi in the courts of the Kauravas when she was attempted to be disrobed by the powerful Dushasana. All of the Chakshis at that time were very muscular, very powerful. Not only were they born in the line where
born in powerful bodies, but they constantly train for warfare. So even a despicable person like Dushasana, being urged on by Karna, of all people, he tried to disrobe Draupadi by pulling off her sari, and she attempted to fight because she was the most chaste lady. To be made naked in that assembly was worse than death for us. Worse than death. But finally, she just threw up her arms and depended on Krishna. And Krishna supplied her one sari after another. You could probably, after that scene, you could probably start from Kapra, Manda, and sell saris and so many saris. But practically speaking, the devotees of the Lord, they want a situation where they'll be forced to just throw up their arms and say, Krishna, I'm yours, I can't protect myself. But Maharaj Parikshit came to that situation not by his own choice. He had a duty to do, but he came to that situation by force of circumstance, by providence. Surely it was providence. It was an arrangement of the Lord, because Parikshit did not intend to insult Chandrakirishi. It was not his custom. He was always respectable for respectful to Brahmanas. And it was just a force of circumstance. The snake was right there, dead snake. And even Sringi should not have cursed him. He was trained by his father, but he became angry, lost control of his senses. Young child. So everything conspired together to create this situation where Maharaj Parikshit is fasting till death, and he took the right path of action, and therefore he is becoming famous. So there's one among us in Dharmasya, Mahakova. There's no loss or diminution. Neha Vikramanash will be Pratibhaya. Any kind of devotional service that we can do, we get benefit in so many ways. Even to the, we may not see a lot of flowers being showered like Parikshit Maharaj. Those days are long past. Something happened to me recently. I came to one place. It was something new. Somebody had put flowers on the fan. Old ones, other three, like prongs, three blades on the fan. So they put the flowers up on the fan. And I walked in and he turned the fan on. Flowers began to shower. What happened? But yes, a cheap imitation. The demigods would literally shower flowers. We may not get that kind of a reception, but we should all know that any devotional service they can perform is being seen by the demigods. Being seen by Srimati Radharani, and Krishna will come to know and you will be blessed. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Om Vishnu Guraya Krishna Prasthaya Vidaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Pranamne Namaste Sarasapindeva Paravani Pranamne Nirvishesha Shinvadi Pasipatya Adhya Sarasapindeva. This is a very nice verse of the communications minister. So maybe you should read it first. No, you don't, because it's about interplanetary communication.
I was going to skip that.
Mike, Fred, Bill, Jim.
Nina, my dear.
I was thinking, since he's talking about interplanetary travel and communications, that more is in the line of Narayana. And I was going to allow the sannyasis to speak about that, following in his footsteps and your interplanetary travel and preaching. I was going to comment a little bit. The purport Prabhupada describes the status of the demigods as being more luxurious than human beings. But all of them are obedient to the orders of the Supreme Lord. Devotees on the surface of the earth are always praised by the many gods, and they're greatly delighted to see devotees on earth make progress in their life. So I think this is a significant point that's being made here, that perhaps commenting as the one perhaps that I was at the end here, that we understand as Vaishnavas, Prabhupada taught us, Prabhupada teaches us, Rupa Goswami emphasizes his point of yukta-vairagya, that our process of devotional service is not focused so much on giving up the things of this material world, but actually returning them to their rightful owner. But we understand that everything of this world is Krishna's energy. He is the supreme controller. He's the supreme enjoyer, and he's the supreme friend of every living entity. So that whatever we may have in this life, whatever opulences we may have, whatever time we may have, whatever strength we have in our body, whatever words we can speak, whatever intelligence is there within our minds, whatever wealth, whatever family environment we may have, whatever power, position, and influence we may have in society, we should learn that these things are all the property and the energy of Krishna, and they should be used in his service. That we see the world today is very much distracted by materialism. I come to India once a year, and when you go away from a place and then you come back, you notice the changes more drastically than you do if you're there and they're coming slowly. So it's always very surprising to see how many things that are there in the West are not so much Western anymore, they're global. It's like there's this sign out back now, there's a new way to inspire people to chant Hare Krishna. It says, come and find relief from stress. I never saw this word used very much in India before, although certainly in America that word's been there for years because everyone's so stressful. So now India is joining the international community of experiencing stress. So one more step forward for humankind into the jaws of Kali Yuga. And now we've accepted so much of the international materialistic culture. Now we feel so much stress. Like I was commenting the other day to the communications course. I remember years ago, coming to India, there weren't so many cars. People were riding bicycles. But then over the years, there were more and more cars and less and less bicycles. And then one year, coming and noticing a big billboard, it was probably in Mumbai, was an exercise bike. So you used to ride your bicycles on the way to work or the way to the shop, and you got exercise this way. So now, for the project, you don't have to ride your bicycle to work anymore. You can take an automobile, so you come home and you pay double for a bicycle that doesn't move, sits in one place, and try to get your exercise that way. So in this way, society makes progress in one sort of way. But our understanding is that everything, all of the energy of this world is meant to be used in Krishna's service. And we should, following in the footsteps of the demigods, and Prabhupada's making the point here, there's no atheists in the heavenly planets. They're all devotees of Krishna. Yet they live such luxurious lives, they use everything in Krishna's service. And this should be our understanding and our practice as well, that we use everything in this world. And we use science in the service of the Lord, we use technology in the service of the Lord. This beautiful temple is here, such beautiful architecture is there, such wonderful design, so much intelligence went into designing this building. Prabhupada often said that we're using microphones in this service, tape recorders in this service, computers, so many things in there. So we shouldn't shy away from things that can be used in the Lord's service. But at the same time, we have to be very, very cautious. Because there's a tendency to think that I am the controller, I am the enjoyer, and I can be the friend. But devotees who are understanding that we actually are someone's friend, then we should try to bring them to Krishna. Because he's the supreme friend. And if we actually have control over something, we do, we have some influence, at least over this body, things in relationship with this body. Proper use of that control is to use what we have, control it, to offer it to the Lord. If there's something we want to enjoy, proper use of enjoyment is to offer it first to the Lord, and then accept it as His mercy, and again, offer that, use that foodstuff, we offer foodstuff, so it becomes prasada, and we accept it to purify our bodies. In this way, our entire lives can become sanctified. But we have to do so very, very carefully. Too often we become influenced by the material energy that surrounds us, and we forget what is actually my position. We think I am the Lord of this wife, I'm the Lord of this house, I'm the Lord of this car. Just like yesterday, it was very interesting. I left the temple. Some things you don't see in America so much. There was a nice, some type of car puja was going on in the parking lot. The pujari was doing puja, and they had flowers and car taking. I stopped and took a picture because this was a novelty for me. And I was thinking, in one sense, this is a very nice move. It's like sometimes you go to shops. I remember we went to Rajasthan a few years ago. We visited some shop owned by some Vaishnava family. And at the end of the day, I don't know if this is still the tradition in much of India, but the entire family, the whole staff, everybody stood outside and they offered arti to the place of work, to their shop. Because they're understanding this is the mercy of Krishna. So if it's in that mood, Krishna's giving me this nice car, let me honor this car. Real honoring your car means then let me use it for him. If we just think, let me honor this car because it will bring me so much pleasure, then that same car becomes a source of forgetfulness. That same car can become an opportunity to serve Krishna. The same way our body is a gift to Krishna. The human form of life is a great gift. And we can use it in that mentality. We can use it as a gift given by the Lord to serve Him, to understand Him, to acquire Him, to pour mind, or my comfort. What is the purpose of life? Or the same body can become a source of degradation. That's our free will. That's our choice. So as devotees, we also have to be very careful. Because sometimes this understanding of using things in Krishna's service or renouncing things is subtle. Sometimes in our effort to renounce things, we reject things that actually have great value in the service of the Lord. Maharaj and I were speaking a little bit in the lobby today. We were talking about, I was talking, Maharaj was expressing also some shared concern. We use nice microphones in the service of the Lord so that we can hear. This microphone has value to us because it allows us to hear the glories of the Lord. We have to be careful. We can also misuse the microphone. Many temples you go to, we turn the microphone so loud, in the process of using the microphone, we destroy the eardrum. This is misuse of the Lord's. Yes, Martha said, what did you say? I can't hear you. We, in the effort to use something in Krishna's service, we misuse it. And we discussed it in our communication seminar. Sometimes In an effort to serve the devotees, sometimes we abuse other devotees. Sometimes we see that, and we have to develop a little broader vision. If we're going to have kirtan, we should be thinking, how can we have kirtan so I can hear for the rest of my life? It's a very practical matter, but many members of our society, they don't hear very well anymore. Because somehow we think that the louder, the better. The louder, the louder, the louder. It's like the outer prashadam. If you eat too much prashadam, you get sick. Isn't it? So the principle is you eat prashadam and not too much prashadam. You have to be careful. The principle is to hear the kirtan. If the kirtan is too loud, then we can't hear. Sometimes even people bring their little children to the temples. When one has a little body, it's very sensitive. The senses are very sensitive. So sometimes babies and their little children are there. If the sound is so loud we can't even hear each other from a few feet away, then actually we're thinking this is very nice. We're glorifying the Lord, but we're actually doing a disservice to the Vaishnavas. We have to be sensitive about these things. Prabhupada described we have to be Krishna conscious, we have to be cool-headed. We have to be a little analytical and look at things very, very carefully. So, just in ending, I'd like to read a purport. We've been looking at that in this purport in the communications course. This is from the 9th chapter, text 11. Prabhupada talks about the importance of caring for devotees, because that's also here in today's text, that the demigods, they take great pleasure in seeing the devotees make advancements in the body. Sometimes we're thinking as Vaishnavas of the importance of serving the Lord, serving the senior devotees, the guru, or the sannyasis, or the Prabhupada disciples, or someone who has some seniority. But we forget that every living entity is a Vaishnava. What to speak is also of actually acting as Vaishnavas in the need of being respectful and taking care of all the devotees. So I'd just like to read one purport from Srila Prabhupada. He comments in this text, purport, to 9-11. Jiva Goswami, commenting on this verse, says that Krishna, in his plenary expansion as Paramatma, is situated in the moving and non-moving entities as the Supersoul. So any neophyte devotee who simply gives his attention to the Archamurti, the form of the Supreme Lord in the temple, and does not respect other living entities, is uselessly worshipping the form of the Lord in the temple. Very powerful verse, Prabhupada says. If we're worshiping the deity in the temple, we all are doing part of our Vaishnava practice. But we are not giving respect to other living entities. Prabhupada says we are uselessly worshiping the form of the Lord in the temple. There are three kinds of devotees of the Lord, and the neophyte is in the lowest stage. The neophyte devotee gives more attention to the deity in the temple than to other devotees. So Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur warns that this sort of mentality should be corrected. The devotee should see that because Krishna is present in everyone's heart as Paramatma, every body is the embodiment or the temple of the Supreme Lord. So as one offers respect to the temple of the Lord, he should similarly properly respect each and every body in which the Paramatma dwells. Everyone should therefore be given proper respect and should not be neglected. So here's described a demigod mentality. They're very pleased to offer their benedictions to the devotees, and they're very happy to see those on earth make spiritual advancement. So we should also try to develop this mentality. Our pleasure should become seeing others make spiritual advancement, and we should remember that if we want to properly honor the form of the Lord, or in the temple. According to Jiva Goswami and Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, we also have to honor and care and respect and take care of all the Vaishnavas, or else our worship of the Lord is not proper. Hare
Krishna. This one's better. What's this? Oh, we're going to leave that to you. Don't worry about it. Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Buddhaya Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Pacharane Nirvishesha Kinyavadi Pasipati Ardeva Siddharana. In this particular purport, It is mentioned the invisible chain of complete cooperation between the Lord, the demigods, and the Zodi of the Lord on the earth. This is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. Devam bhavayata dena te deva bhavayantiva parashparam bhavayantas shreyat paramavatsita. That the demigods, being satisfied by the offerings, they supply all necessities to the persons on this planet, and therefore there reigns general prosperity for all. So the word here is parashparam, and we find the same word in the 10th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, matschita matchkata prana bodhyantak parashparam katayantas kamam nityam tushanti cha pramanti cha. So this word bodhyantak means to be pleasing, and of course tushanti and ramanti means happiness. So everyone is looking for happiness. As is commented upon, the current conception of happiness is to advance materially. Material advancement means principally in Kali Yuga, Kam and Artha, or Artha and Kam. Getting more and more material goods and how do people get more and more material goods? Generally, there are the Vaishyas and the Shudras. The Shudras and Vaishyas are completely absorbed in economic development, cheating others in order to enjoy their senses. Therefore, there has to be an intelligent class of persons, the Brahmins, who know what Dharma is, and the Kshatriyas who can administer Dharma, or else who simply have a society of the cheaters and the cheated. A society of the cheaters and the cheated, they cooperate simply to cheat each other. Or in the modern way of expressing it, the dog-eat-dog society. Svadvidra hostra karar samstuta purusha pashu. Dogs, hogs, camels, asses, they do not glorify Krishna. They do not utilize their energies in Krishna's glorification. They do not speak about Krishna. They don't want to hear about Krishna. Actually, they don't want anything to do with Krishna. Therefore, they've missed the point in life. They're known as it says in the next verse, as Ishtan Bhogan Vodeva Dasinte Jagabhavita Taranita Apradayai Yo Yo Bhumte Sena. They're thieves, and thieves will be punished. When Prabhupada was on a morning walk in Mayapur on the roof, so one of the life members, Prabhupada asked him, "What do you do for a living?" So the life member said, "Swamiji, I am an industrialist." So Srila Prabhupada said, "Oh, that's very nice. And what do you manufacture?" So the man said, "I manufacture glass. We have factories where they manufacture glass." So Prabhupada said, "Oh, that's very nice. And where do you get the glass from?" So the man said, "The glass comes from sand, Swamiji." So Prabhupada said, "Oh, that's very nice. And where does the sand come from?" So the man said, "Oh, it comes from Bhagavan." So Prabhupada said, "Bhagavan? You're stealing from Bhagavan?" So the man was quite embarrassed, and he disappeared for the morning walk. But at the end, he came up and said, "Swamiji, Swamiji, I just want to tell you that I give in charity." So Prabhupada's eyebrows raised up and said, "Oh, so you're a little thief. Stena, Eva Stena." So anyone who does not understand Krishna consciousness, then one is a thief. And by the laws of material nature, one will have to be punished. And what is that punishment? Shodrams, chakshus parshanam cha, rasanam granam eva cha, adishtayam anakchanyam vishayan upasevate. Thus the living entity will have to take another body, another set of senses, with his sight and smell and mind, all these senses grouped around the mind, and thus one will be forced to enjoy a particular set of sense objects. Therefore, real cooperation is not based upon cooperating for sense gratification. This is our basic philosophy. Yatatara mula nishetinena trityantitaskanda bujopushaka pranahara ratschayatendriyanam tathayva sarvanam atuteja. If we want to know how to fill our stomach, if we want to know where to supply the food, it is a science. The food has to be put into the mouth. If we want to know where to water a tree, then we have to know to put the water into the root. There's no alternative. If we want to be satisfied, if we want to get the necessities of life, we have to perform sacrifice to Krishna. Jaga Vai Vishnu. There's no other alternative, although in modern society, they're putting forward the propaganda that by factories, by so-called economic development, the problems of life will be solved. But actually, they're not solving the problems of life. Evam pravartitam chakram nanu vartiyatiyata agayor indriyaramo mokham partha sajivati. Actually, it's simply they're creating more simple activities, more simple reactions, more animosity, more wars, more anxiety, more and more problems. But due to advertisement, people are thinking it's progress. They're making progress in communication, and mass illusions, mass hypnotism, that they're doing quite well in, but in all the other fields of activity, simply they're accumulating more and more sinful reactions. And the result is simply that people are becoming more and more thieves, and therefore, in the future, there'll be more and more problems. The only solution is this cooperation. Cooperation for what? Cooperation to serve the root of existence, Krishna. And what does Krishna want? Ya idam paramanguyam madbhakteshva vidashati bhakti mayi param kritva mame vaishatya samshayaha. That in this world, there is no one more dear to Krishna than those who are cooperating to spread Krishna consciousness. It is not that Krishna, he has many, many desires and plans. No, he has only one plan in this material world, to bring the living entities back to their original position of Krishna consciousness, to reinstate them in devotional service. And anyone who wants to find out what their interest is, what their best interest is, they also have to cooperate in this plan of Krishna to help bring other living entities back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, it's shrava eva hi kevalam. It is simply a waste of time, and it's simply a source of misery and problems for themselves and others. So Pariksit Maharaj, the demigods, although this is seemingly a very inauspicious situation, that Pariksit Maharaj is about to leave his body, but all of us, as we'll find out in the next canto, because it's the end of the first canto, all of us, we're all about to leave our body. And therefore, our real necessity of life is to cooperate in the service of Krishna, to spread Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, we'll be caught up in Kali Yuga with this false understanding that by a little cooperation, we can make each other God. We can become incarnations of and enjoy here in the material world. So this is called the Mudha Avatars, the Society of Mudha Avatars. But here, Pariksit Maharaj, he's a great personality, and he'll teach us how, by hearing from a great personality such as Shukadeva Goswami, that one can enter into the pure consciousness of Krishna, and how this is, brings about the ultimate benefit of life, by which we can go back to the spiritual world and get out of this mature world where there is only danger at every step. So, we have a few minutes. We can talk about some of the great personalities.
So, today is one of those days when the microphone doesn't work.
And it's switched off. There's an on-off switch.
So today is one of those auspicious days when we have the appearance and disappearance of many of our acharyas. Let's see, today is the appearance day of Vishnu Priya, like Lord Chaitanya said, right? Today is Saraswati Puja. It is the appearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami. It is the disappearance day of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. It is the appearance of Raghunandan Thakur. It is the appearance of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. It is the, let's see, who else?
That's it.
That's it?
Yeah.
There must be more.
Dr. Patel.
No, today is also the day of inauguration of a very beautiful ISKCON temple in Surat. So many of the devotees from Radharas Bihari Temple, Radha Gopinath, and Radha Girihari temples have gone there to celebrate with devotees from around the world. Very beautiful temple, some say even more beautiful than Angaba and Baroda. So if you go to Surat, be sure to visit. I thought I would say just a little bit about Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who was a contemporary and follower of Lord Chaitanya. I chose him because some people considered him to be a sense enjoyer, so I identified with that. And actually what happened was his family at a particular point was ostracized from the Vaishnava community. Some misunderstanding. So Pundarik was also from a very wealthy family, and he had a lot of material opulence. He was a great devotee of Lord Jagannath, and he, of course, Vaishnavas generally do not do such things as
eating pan. Although we offer it to Lord Jagannath, we offer it to Lord Krishna, but it is considered to be intoxicating. So Vaishnavas do not generally take that, although Pundarik Vidyanidhi did too on Bethel and take pan. But he had different pastimes. He was the spiritual master of the Dadhar Pandit. And initially, Gadadhar Pandit did have a negative opinion about Pundarik Vidyanidhi, thinking him to be a sense enjoyer, but Pundarik had a very intimate relation with Lord Chaitanya, so much so that Lord Chaitanya used to call him Father. And he used to call him Pundarik Premanidhi. And it was known that although Pundarik would lie around his house on a soft couch, kashipu, the habit of a sense enjoyer, and he would be maybe eating pan or doing some other what might appear to be sense gratificatory activity. But if someone were to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, especially from the more intimate parts of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's Rasa-lila, or any part of the Bhagavatam, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was known to fall off his cushion, his couch, and go into a trance-like state, just hearing the nectar of Bhagavata. So Lord Chaitanya convinced Vidadhar that not only should he respect Pundarik, but he should also take initiation from him, which Vidadhar did. Pundarik also had different pastimes with Jagannath. There is a particular day called Odana Shasti, where Jagannath is offered a warm cloth, and on one particular occasion, Pundarik noticed that Pujari had not washed the cloth. It was the cloth used for the festival of Odana Shasti, but it was the same cloth as the year before, and it had not been washed. And so within his mind, Pundarik criticized that brahmana, that pundit, Pujari, and he used it as an excuse to think ill of the devotees. So that time, Lord Jagannath and Balaram came while Pundarik was sleeping and began to slap him on the face. And they continually slapped him. So that when he woke up, his face was all swollen. His mind had become polluted. And Jagannath did not tolerate that. But Pundarik was very happy, because he had been personally chastised by the Lord. So he took that as a great blessing. And, well, there are many other pastimes of Pundarik, and perhaps Prahlada Premanidhi will tell us more about those. Today is also the disappearance of the appearance day of Raghunath Das Goswami now. Raghunath Das, there are so many stories about him, his example, that one could spend a long time discussing, but in general we know that Raghunath Das was from a very wealthy family, very, very wealthy family, extremely wealthy. And his parents definitely did not want him to become a devotee of the Lord. They wanted him, or at least to become a renunciate, that's for sure. But, and they tried to prevent him from leaving home. But he did go and join the devotees in Vrindavan, and he renounced his material opulence gradually, till finally he took up chanting of the holy names on the banks of Radhakund. And he was so renounced and so pure that he chanted without any kuti. And in the noonday sun, it was suddenly burning down on his head, and he was chastised by Sanatana Goswami because Radharani came and held her apron over his head so that he wouldn't get tortured by the sunlight. He was so pure and so devoted in his chanting that Radharani wanted to render some service to him. Sanatana Goswami was disturbed that he would take service from Radharani, so he ordered him to build a kutir, which he eventually did. But it is described in the Nectar of Devotion how our model of renunciation is Raghunath Das. We can never achieve that level of renunciation or austerity. We're not even attempting to achieve the types of austerities done by sadhus in caves in the Himalayas, living naked in the dead of winter. And that austerity is not at all prescribed in the Bhagavad Gita. It's torturous. But Raghunath Das is a good example for us to follow because he gradually renounced his wealth and lived in extreme poverty and also devotion. As with many of the Goswamis, he chanted all day long and hardly took 1 hour to sleep and eat and do whatever he had to do. All of his material necessities he took care of in an hour and a half. Took a little buttermilk for his food. We can't hope to achieve that, but we can remember that we are going in that direction. Gradually, somehow or other, from where we are, we have to become more detached because at the time of death, all of our material attachments, whatever they may be, they will drag us down like an anchor holds down a boat, like too many recently heard about an airplane in the Second World War where one general had a jeep
in his plane, the plane would land and the jeep would come out. But some of his followers, his staff, they thought, the plane will be flying over enemy territory, the enemy will be shooting their rifles, AK-47s or whatever. And so they put metal, extra thick metal all along the underside of the fuselage of the plane so that the bullets couldn't penetrate and hurt the general. But they didn't tell the pilot, the plane took off, it was too much weight. The plane crashed, killing 30 people. It was too much weight. So if we also carry too much weight, too many material attachments, that will crash our plane. We'll drown. Too many rocks. Rocks of attachments. So Raghunath Das is an example that we can follow. Also, there's much to be said about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, one of our great acharyas. Srila Prabhupada often read his commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, and he was very fond of quoting where Vishwanath says that the devotee must take the orders of the spiritual master to be his life and his soul. And we don't have enough time to go deep into all these things, so I'll pass the mic to my left.
Well, because Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, every morning we sing his 8 stanzas, which are known as the Guru Vastaka prayers, in honor of the spiritual master, Parambara. And you're going to speak about Vishnu Priya. Who else?
Yeah, actually we could excuse whoever's taking the communications course that they'd like to leave now so they can be back up because the class starts at 10.
You're going to come up until 10 o'clock about Vishnu Priya?
No.
You can't wait for 10 minutes?
The class starts at 10 if they don't go to this start late.
Huh?
Maybe
they're
going to
get
their communications course and both decide they're going to get their class.
Position here? Raghunanda. I think Raghunanda was the one who was his father? He couldn't. So Raghunanda Thakur, I believe it's someone. He was, when he was a little child, his father, Mukunda, told him to offer some prasadam to the deities. He offered the prasadam to the deity after his father had left. And he thought, because he was only 5 years old, that Krishna has not eaten the prasad, because the prasadam is still there. So he asked his deity, it was a Gopal deity, why are you not eating the prasad? Eating the prasad, my father will become very disturbed. He asked me to offer it to you. So still the deity apparently had not eaten the prasad. So then Raghunanda, he again pleaded with the deity, please eat the prasad. So finally he broke out in tears, and the deity Gopal, as a goat, came down from the altar and ate the prasad. So Raghunanda was very happy. And when his father came back, he said, well, where is the prasad that was offered? He said, well, the deity ate it. So his father said, right, of course, right. So he said, no, really, the deity ate it. I pleaded with him to eat the prasad. Finally, he came and ate the prasad. So his father said, yes, you can offer the food tomorrow. So he gave another plate of prasad, a bhoga to offer to the deity. Raghunanda again offered the prasad to the deity. Again, the prasad was apparently not accepted by the deity because He didn't come down from the altar to eat it. But Mukunda was looking out through the window, or looking in through the window. And then, again, Raghunanda began to plead with the deity, please come and eat the prasad. My father would become very disturbed. So the deity again came down from the altar and began to eat the prasad. So Mukunda was amazed that here the deity is coming eating the prasad on the request of my son. And then the deity looked and he saw that Mukunda's looking through the window. So he put whatever was left down and went back on the altar. And then Mukunda rushed in to eat the remnants. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Mukunda and Raghunanda, then he said, I believe he asked him, who's older, you or your son? So Mukunda said, my son is actually superior because he has spontaneous attraction for you. Well, I'm still in the platform of Sadhana Bhakti. So therefore I accept him as superior. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that is correct. Raghunanda Thakur is a great devotee of spontaneous love for Lord Chaitanya, and we give him all our respect.
Appearance of Ishtakriya? Appearance of Ishtakriya. Appearance day.
Yeah.
Today is also the appearance day of Ishtakriya, Devi. So Prabhupada, a little bit of her story is told in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So there's one description. Prabhupada writes, for his first 24 years, Lord Chaitanya remained in Dhammasweep as a student and household. His first wife was Srimati Lakshmi Priya, who died in an early age when the Lord was away from home. When he returned from East Bengal, he was requested by his mother to accept a second wife, and the Lord agreed. His second wife was Srimati Vishnupriya Devi, who bore the separation of the Lord throughout her life, because the Lord took the order of sannyas at the age of 24, when Srimati Vishnupriya was barely 16 years old. So let me read in the Bhagavatam of Shukadeva Goswami, when he appeared in the next few verses to give instruction to Maharaj Prakash, who was also 16 years old, but he was considered to be the most elevated among the saints there. Even in the presence of his father and Narada Muni and others, they felt he is most qualified to speak his Bhagavatam for the benefit of Maharaj Krishna, although he was only 16. So here we have the example of Srimati Vishnupriya, who was Lord Chaitanya's wife, but when he took sannyas, she bore the burden of separation of the Lord throughout her life. Prabhupada later was describing Sridhar Maharaj found one text in the folio. Prabhupada was describing to Mahakrishna Maharaj, who was dictating some scenes for a play or his understanding of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. And he described to him that Vishnupriya, she was such a great Vaishnavi that she would chant one round of japa, and at the end of each round she would take one grain of rice and put it to the side. And she would chant all day long, one round moving one grain of rice. And at the end of the day, she would cook that rice, as many grains as she had chanted, and this was all that she would take. The rest of the day, she was simply absorbed in meditating on Lord Chaitanya and chanting the holy names of Hare Krishna. So in this way, there's so many great examples of great devotees.
Is it one rain for mantra or one?
No, no, one. That's what Prabhupada said.
Yes. So in this way, she was so austere and fully devoted to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So today, her appearance today is like Raghunath Das. We cannot follow exactly his footsteps. He was so austere to that mood of about living very simply, trying to focus our minds on the Lord. We can follow in the footsteps of his great devotion to the Lord. Try to practice in the same way we follow our lives, making Krishna the center of all our activities.
About Saraswati
Puja. I don't know so much about
it. Mother Saraswati is the goddess of learning.
No, he's going to talk about
it's a little long, I think, because it's not directly
Yeah, you want to say just a couple of things.
Some other Saraswati is the goddess of learning. She's the, I guess there are more than one Saraswati. There's the Saraswati who's the wife of Lord Brahma, and she's the goddess of learning. And of course Saraswati was a stanchion of Srimati Radharani as the goddess of fortune, who bestows divine Krishna consciousness. In any case, Saraswati is a great devotee of Lord Krishna, and if one is actually a great devotee of Lord Saraswati, then she gives the intelligence by which one can become a devotee of Krishna, as was revealed in the story of Keshava Kashmir Pandit. Keshava Kashmir Pandit had tried to become a Digvijaya to feed everyone, but when he came in contact with Lord Chaitanya and he was defeated, he became a roast until his goddess of learning, Saraswati, his worshipful goddess, came to him and told him that you were very fortunate to get the association of Lord Chaitanya, and now you should surrender to him, and by doing so your life will actually become successful. So Saraswati is actually merciful to us, and instead of giving us learning or wealth, she'll give us Krishna consciousness. So anyone who has Krishna consciousness, they're also getting the blessings of the goddess of learning, Saraswati. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Grantharaj Bhagavatam ki jai, Vaishnavacharya's Tathagatavaka ki jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda ki jai.